Good afternoon, welcome to Know Yourself. This is Dan Udell, and I'm here today with a very special guest. I'm here with Kim Mole. She is a private practice counsellor from Buckinghamshire slash Oxfordshire. It's on the border. Hi, Kim. Thanks for coming on the show.
Hi.
It's great having you here. Let's get started, I guess. And I just want to say thank you for like coming on, and I really appreciate, like, we've chatted over the last couple of weeks, and yeah, I've just really got a feel for you, and I can tell you're a lovely person, so yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
It's all right. So tell us a bit about you then. Where did it all start for you with the counselling world?
Well, it all started probably in my 20s, so kind of went through the, you know, sixth form, university, that kind of thing, not really knowing what I wanted to do particularly, and then ended up working in the drug and alcohol field within a prison, actually, to begin with, and I just kind of ended up staying in that field. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But kind of over the years, I just realised that, you know, quite often when you work with addiction, there is often underlying issues. So people were talking to me about different traumas that they'd been through, you know, abuse from their past, that kind of thing. And so I kind of thought maybe I wanted to expand my knowledge, my skills a little bit, just so that I could feel that I was helping a little bit more. When those things were being discussed.
Yes.
So at that point, I kind of stepped on the counselling ladder as such, did my level two, which is all I thought I was going to do initially. But
yeah,
once you kind of get into it and, you know, you then have to have therapy yourself, which opens a whole new can of worms. I just realised I didn't want to stop doing it. So, you know, yeah, 4 years later, I'm then qualified. And the rest is kind of history with that, really. But, it was nice to finally find something that I was really passionate about. You know, yeah, the drug and alcohol work, I still am, definitely. But I kind of realised that actually, you know, I'd found something that I wanted to do. You know,
yeah,
that I wanted to keep developing and keep expanding on.
Yeah, something like a real passion by the sounds of things.
Yeah, definitely. You know, wanting to kind of give back, wanting to support people. You know, I know what it's like when, you know, you feel that you're alone and that there's nobody that really understands what's going on for you, particularly with mental illnesses. You know, it often does feel like that. So it's nice to kind of be able to provide that for people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So for anyone who doesn't know, how would you describe the training to becoming a counsellor? So you said you did your level two. From what I understand, level two is a bit like an introduction into counselling, slash counselling skills. So how would you describe that through to going to university and then becoming a counsellor?
So it took me 4 years. So you start off, as you said, with your introductory kind of level two course, which teaches you your skills, like active listening and how to ask questions and what kind of questions give you the best responses. And then you progress then onto your level three, or this is what I did anyway, and that was more focused on different types of theory. So, you know, the different counselling approaches, learning a little bit more about what underpins those, what the theory is, and a lot of the time applying that to you and yourself, your past, your relationships, which, you know, is interesting in itself, actually, just to be able to explore yourself in a little bit more depth.
Yes, yeah.
Which I think is probably the first time that you do, really, when you're training to be a counsellor. Is it that point, you know, you start really picking apart everything that you thought was right about yourself. excuse me. I remember as part of the next course, which was my level four diploma, so it's over 2 years. As part of that, I had to have personal therapy. And I remember going into my first session and thinking, I don't really know what I'm going to talk about for all of these sessions. You know, I haven't got any issues. And then as time went on, I kind of unpicked more. And now I kind of look back and think that was quite a nice place to be in when you're naive and you don't realise. So as part of your, you know, the diploma, there's a hell of a lot involved. I mean, I don't think I was really kind of fully ready for that in a lot of ways. You know, I didn't expect what it was going to involve. Alongside all your written work and the college sessions, you also, as I said, have to do therapy yourself. You also need to do a counselling placement, so do so many hours within an agency setting to gain the kind of more practical experience, the hands-on stuff, supervision. The list goes on, really. It's kind of like a full-time job actually at that point. You know, you're doing so much stuff.
Yes.
And at that point you're not being paid, so you know you're also having, you know, there's a financial element to it as well, really. But you know, if you're like me and you know you've got that sorry, excuse me,
it's all right.
Got that passion. I've got a really sore throat today, sorry. If you're like me and you've really got that passion, then that's what drives you. You know, you keep going back every week. You know, you're going back to your college course. You know, you're thriving from, you know, doing the placements, and you know you enjoy. I kind of say that with, you know, little tags around them. I don't know what that word is.
Yeah, like speech marks or like something.
You know, you kind of enjoy your counselling sessions.
Yeah.
And you know, at the end of it, it is all worth it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way that I did it. You know, 4 years at college and then I became a qualified counsellor. So,
wow, what a journey.
It was a journey, yeah, a long journey. but definitely worth it, definitely. You know, I would recommend it to anybody that's, you know, got the skills to be a counsellor. You know, you need to be compassionate, you need to be understanding.
You basically read my mind. I was literally about to ask you, what in your opinion, what makes like a great counsellor? If there's anyone out there that's thinking like, oh, you know, I've been thinking about like training or like inquiring about it, but I'm not sure if I'm the right sort of person. What is the right sort of person?
I think being open is the number one. You know, being open-minded. You know, people are going to come from all different walks of life with all different issues, you know, and you have to be accepting of all of that. You know, you may not necessarily agree with how they've behaved or what they've done or something that they've been through, but actually, you know, you're there to support the person. And the person, a lot of the time, is, you know, you need to see as separate from their behaviour. Accepting, you know, being non-judgmental, you know, really valuing them as a human.
Yeah.
You know, which we don't always have. I don't think every member of society fits into that box, unfortunately. But, you know, I think if you've got those skills and, you know, you want to make a difference, you want to help other people, then definitely, you know, go for it.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing that could stop you if you've, you know, if you've got that drive and that passion, then, you know, go for it.
Yeah, for like really helping people. And I mean, you might feel the same. Like, I get such like a, I feel like such a deep connection to like counselling. Like when I was going through my own therapy, Like, I just found this, I think I've always been quite, like, a deep and, like, I would say emotionally aware person. I just didn't, like, I think I was aware of what was going on. I just couldn't articulate it to myself and other people. But, like, once I started therapy and really got in touch with that side of me and, like, really discovered that I love the sort of deep and meaningful, like, themes and aspects of life, and I think the sort of, it's hard to put into words sometimes, like, the benefit that I got out of counselling is so great. Like, I was on one end of life, like, you know, being like suicidal and whatever, and then all the way to the other side of life where I feel like I'm in total control now. It doesn't matter what happens to me, I think I can be okay, because it gives you that resilience in your head. And I just think that power is so awesome that I want to give that to other people, and I feel like it's such an unlock, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I think kind of related to that, you know, it's important that you find the right counsellor.
Yeah.
I mean, over my time in my training and throughout my personal life, you know, I've worked with various different counsellors, and some have been absolutely fantastic and really helped. And then others, there's just been something missing. That connection isn't there. So maybe they're working in a slightly different way than what I think I need, or the rapport just hasn't been built.
Yeah.
You know, so I think that that makes a real kind of difference on what you're going to get out with counselling.
Yeah.
You know, I'd say that as well, that, you know, it's, I mean, counselling is amazing given the right person, the right environment.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's about finding those things.
I totally agree. Like, it's a relationship at the end of the day, and I just think, like, it's weird. It's almost like dating in a way. Like, you gotta find someone that you can get in the room with, and there's gonna be like barriers to communication to start off with, because you're like, you're not just gonna walk in the room and tell like a therapist like everything straight away, because like you have to like become like trusting and that sort of thing. But like, I remember my first session with my counselor, I just walked in. Like, it was just an hour of non-stop talking, backwards and forwards. And I just remember thinking, I can really work with this lady. Like, I just feel so comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's allowing me to say all these things that I've never told anyone.
Yeah. And, you know, that is the power of it, isn't it? Is finding that connection and that relationship. And, you know, then you're going to make progress. You know, the counselling is going to help.
Yeah.
You know, I always say to clients when they first come to see me, you know, that we always have kind of an introductory session, like an initial session.
Yeah.
And really, you know, the point of that is for them to get a feel for me, see whether they think that they can work with me moving forward, whether I'm going to be the best person for them. You know, I have no problem at all saying to someone at the end of the session, go out, meet another counsellor, meet some other people, make a decision, because ultimately, you know, they're going to get what they need if they find the right counsellor. And if I'm not for them, then I'm not for them. You know, that's fine.
Yeah. I think that's a really great way of looking at it, because ultimately you're showing a willingness for the person to truly find something that is going to benefit them. And I think that in itself, like, speaks a certain volume to the client or potential client, because they're thinking, like, you know what, like, this lady really wants, like, what's best for me. Like, I really value that. And I think, yeah, I just think it really serves them well, like that. Mm. Yeah, it's really interesting. So, how long have you, because you're private practice, so how long have you been private practice now?
So I have been in private practice, I think, about 4 years. Once I qualified, I actually took a couple of years away from it.
Okay.
I kind of felt I'd had enough by that point. I needed to let things settle in my head. You know, you've
Yeah.
taken so much throughout your college course, and you know, it's such a steep learning curve that you're on, that actually I needed a bit of time to process and
Yeah.
just kind of let things settle. So I took a bit of time out, had a couple of years off, and then kind of came back ready to go, and started doing a little bit of advertising kind of here and there. And then it's kind of been more recently, so within the last year, that I've really kind of named my practice. So I'm no longer Kim's Counselling, which is just like rubbish. Now I actually have a therapy name, I have a logo, a website,
Yeah.
actually all stuff that I've done myself, which is a huge achievement. Never thought that I'd be able to make my own website.
Yeah. So you, like there's a sense of like real pride there, like the
Yeah.
ownership of like, you know what, I am on my own. Like, let's smash this.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and it feels good to be able to do a little bit more to advertise, to really get my name out, to, you know,
Yeah.
to meet people, you know, things like this. It's, you know, a great opportunity that, you know, I've never really considered before up until more recently, you know. So yeah, so it's kind of took off a little bit more recently, although I always had quite a steady stream of clients, but
Yeah.
you know, it's nice now to feel a bit more kind of settled in my practice, I guess.
Yeah. I get a real First of, I guess I've got two things to say. First thing, I'm actually really impressed because I checked out your website before the interview, and I'm actually really impressed that you did that all on your own. Because yeah, it looks good.
All of my
Yeah, that's good. I work in IT, and I couldn't make a website. So fair play to you. And then second thing is I can see why you've got a stream of clients because you're really easy to talk to, and I think a lot of people will like open up and see a lot of value in talking to you.
Yeah,
So
thank you.
yeah, it's
You
all
know,
right.
I really do pride myself on my relationship with my clients. You know, they are the reason that I'm doing the work that I'm doing, you know. So for me, that's really important to develop those good relationships, to allow them to be able to open up, and share with me some of the things that perhaps they've never shared with anybody before.
Yeah.
You know, and I do take a lot of pride in what I do. You know, it feels lovely to be able to do the kind of work that I do on a daily basis. You
Yeah.
know, it's great. You know, definitely.
Do you find that family and friends find it hard to understand what you do, or do they get it somewhat because of their own experience with therapy, or?
It's interesting you say that. They don't particularly understand what I do, I don't think. I guess, you know, part of it is a generation thing, you know, that my parents are from the generation where, you know, you grew up, negative events happen, and you just get on with life. That's what you do. So I think, you know, it can be difficult to understand, I guess, firstly, mental illness, because that term wasn't really around back then. But also, you know, why it would help just to sit in a room and talk to someone, and why you'd perhaps want to pay for that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, their way of dealing with stuff was just to get on and cope. But, you know, I guess with more awareness of these kind of things, you know, definitely more stuff out there about, you know, how prevalent mental illness is. I think is really going to help those people that don't particularly understand. You know, that will definitely help. And I think a lot of people with counselling think that all you do is just sit there and just answer a couple of questions.
Yes.
Or maybe just say, and so how does that feel? You know, I've had a few friends just say, oh, well, what, an hour of work a day? You know, that's easy. And you think, well, if only it was. You know, there's actually a lot more going on than you just...
Yeah, it's the emotional challenge of it.
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's a lot more to it.
Do you get, say, for example, after like 4 or 5 sessions back to back, do you really get to the end of the day and think, like, do you feel like that somewhat emotional exhaustion or drainage?
Yeah, you can do, particularly after, you know, a particularly difficult session or, you know, a highly emotional session. Even after just one, you can, you know, you can walk away and just think, oh my gosh, you know, it just feels, it feels heavy, you know. Yeah. But I guess that's where, you know, your self-care comes in. You know, you've got to allow time for you, time to process that kind of stuff and its impact on you and how you're feeling. And then to try and do something to help you let that stuff go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, you know, it's just about being aware of it and then doing little things to help, whether it's a cup of tea or going to McDonald's or, or having a bath or, you know, looking after yourself a bit.
Yeah. I would say one of the greatest things that I got out of my own therapy and also... I guess my training as well has enhanced it. One of the greatest things I got was that sort of being comfortable in my own skin. So like I literally go to the cinema on my own. I'll take myself out for like food on my own. I really start to like value my own time. And it's weird, like, I see myself in my head now because I've taken the time to sort out a lot of different things and build up my self-worth and self-esteem. I kind of look at myself in my head and I'm like, I'm my own best mate in a way, if that makes sense. And I think that's one of the greatest things I've learned because I can just... be happy without anyone around me, and then if there is people, then great. It's like you're no longer like surviving, you're actually like thriving, because like you can just spend the whole day on your own if you want and it's okay.
Exactly.
It's all right. Sorry, you got a tickly cough. Don't worry,
it's just about to die.
It's always the way. Like, I woke up sneezing this morning, so I think I got something coming.
Yeah, I think, you know, going back to what you just said, you know, and kind of spending time in your own company and feeling comfortable with yourself, you know, that's amazing. You know, that's, I guess, the difference between just live, well, as you said, just surviving or thriving. You know, it's you know, something that I really value. I need my me time, hence my name, my therapy name, Me Time Therapy. You know, as much as I love being social and being around other people, I need time to recharge my batteries.
Yeah. It's okay.
I just have to go and grab water.
Yeah, it's all right. You carry on. Kim's just got to grab a glass of water. She's struggling with her tickly cough today.
I'm back.
Hey. Yeah. So, I find it more and more so in my own sort of like personal time. I find it really beneficial to, if I do hang out with people, I often find myself hanging out with like the people that I've been on, that have been on my course, because they've had the same training as me, or people like yourself where, you know, you're actually in the field and you're working. And I think part of the reason that is because, like, you have someone that can empathise with you a bit more. I guess it's kind of going back to what we were talking about earlier about family and friends, like, understanding what you do. Do you find that it's easier to just, you know, see people that work in your field because you can have a chat and they can really get what you're going through?
Yeah, I do find that. You know, I'm still friends with some of the people that I did my college course with, which was, you know, kind of 7 years ago, something like that. You know, I've still got a lot of them on Facebook and other social media, and it's, I guess it's kind of a different type of relationship with people that have a similar background, because it, I guess it's like a deeper relationship. You know, you're talking to people that have got a lot of self-awareness, a lot of people that understand mental health issues. They understand the difficulties that people go through. So it is a kind of, it's a deeper level of kind of human connection, really.
Yeah.
You know, I've got some friends who have no experience of mental health disorders at all, that probably don't particularly understand what it's like, probably don't even understand what I do for a living, really, you know, going back to your earlier question. And, you know, you find that sometimes, you know, you're at that superficial level with them, which actually is sometimes what we need. You know, it's good to have those kind of superficial conversations, and, you know, that's nice, you know, it fulfills a purpose. But
yeah,
you know, to talk to someone like yourself that's got that kind of level of understanding, it does feel a little bit deeper, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I totally get what you mean.
Yeah.
You can sit down and, like, within 2 minutes you're talking about, like, something really deep. That's something that I found after my training. Like, I wouldn't mean to. I'd be like, I don't know, I'm out, like the shop buying some food, and, like, because you're so honest about a lot of different things, like, someone will be like, how are you? And I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm doing really great because of this, this, and this. And then 5 minutes later, I'm in this really deep conversation. It just, like, happens. You get down these, like, rabbit holes by accident.
Yeah. Well, you just notice that you're doing things, you know. I do that quite a lot. Is, you know, someone might ask me, you know, how you're doing. I mean, even you did it earlier when we first started talking, before the recording. You said, so how are you doing? And I went, I'm fine. And then as soon as I did it, I just clocked in my head, I'm not really fine, actually. I was feeling a bit anxious. Why did I say I was fine? And, like, so you're aware of your behaviour and why you're doing things. I guess because you've been exploring it for so long and kind of looking at your behaviour under a microscope a lot of the time through your counselling. But, you know, it's interesting to see what's beneath a lot of the stuff that we do, you know, and, you know, why do we act that way? Why do we say things like that? Why do we, you know, I love all of that stuff, like working out.
Yeah.
Why did I do that? And, you know, what's going on for me? And, you know, picking things apart.
Yeah, it is. It's like a puzzle sometimes. I went through something around, I think it was April time, and it lasted for a few months. Like, it'd been a while since I'd been in, like, a dark patch, but, like, I kind of, like, I forgot who I was in a way.
Yeah.
Like, what had gotten me to that point. And it was a lot of things, like, coinciding at the same time, as happens with life. You know, they, like, usually happens in threes, or people say stuff like that. It's kind of true. Sometimes it happens like that. Like, it was actually, I was coming to the sort of, like, halfway point on my second college course for counselling, and we had this lady come in through from the university that the college course filters into.
Okay.
And I really didn't like her. It's I just got a sense I just didn't like her. I didn't like the course. She actually looked like a maths teacher. She didn't really strike me as like a counsellor because of how, like, I think she was very like psychodynamic. Mm-hmm. So she was very like sort of cold exterior. So she might have had that kind of gooey, like, emotional centre, but I didn't get that at all.
Yeah.
And it was so weird for me because, like you, counselling's like a really big passion for me. And for someone to appear to not love it or, like, present a course that sounded so against the grain of what I thought counselling was, it caused this, like, conflict in my head. And it really made me question whether this was the thing that I wanted to do, like, as a career. And it was really interesting, like, a couple of months. It was really difficult as well. I was just turning up to therapy sessions, like, not knowing what to talk about, which was a first for me. And it was actually, I learned then that it's in those difficult moments that you have to stick with it, because I actually, after that sort of 2 month period was over, the stuff I learned about myself was like the sort of stuff you might learn in a year, you know. Yeah. It was just so valuable.
Yeah. You know, and I guess with counselling, that's often the way as well, you know, that you start counselling and at the beginning you start feeling a little bit worse. You know, you're starting to unpick some of those things, you're starting to explore, you know, potentially difficult things from your past, and it's going to feel horrible, and it will get better, but it's kind of getting through, I guess, a bit of a struggle initially. You know, and a lot of people come to counselling and think, I'm going to get a quick fix, I'm going to feel better instantly. And sometimes it's about, you know, being realistic with people and saying, you know, counselling will help, definitely, but yeah. You know, you need to be mindful that as we start exploring some of this stuff, you may feel a little bit worse initially, but, you know, you need to keep with it, stick with it, you know, put in the work, and, you know, you will then get rewarded at the end.
I love that you use that word work, because that's what it is. Part of the reason I started spending time on my own after my counselling sessions is because I would go to the pub, a random pub in the middle of nowhere, that was near where I had my counselling, and I would sit in there, I would order some food, and I'd literally, like, just stare off into space or, like, people watch. But what I was really doing is, like, processing what had happened in the session on my own.
Yeah.
And it is work, like, you know, it's work.
It is. You know, you need to put in effort. Definitely. You know, I've actually got a client at the moment who is absolutely great. You know, at the end of a session will say, can you send me something that I can do between sessions, which I'll send, and they'll complete fantastically. You know, you can really see that they're trying, that they're, you know, trying to do everything in their power to make this work for them, to make themselves get into that better place. You know, and quite quickly, actually, you start seeing improvements.
Yeah.
But it does take that work and that effort, and it's not always just going and sitting in counselling for an hour a week. It's all the other hours that you have in between those sessions, you know, processing things, thinking about things, you know, keeping an idea of how you're feeling, your thoughts, your feelings, all that kind of stuff. Maybe doing kind of homework or extra bits and pieces that can assist with your counselling. Going away and doing some reading, or, you know, listening to videos or podcasts or anything that can then complement what you're doing.
Yes.
It's not just that hour.
Yeah. There's that, like, reflection time.
Yeah.
I think I can actually remember the first time, like, I've always been quite a reflective person. I didn't know that I was doing it, though, if that made sense. I can remember the first time after a counselling session, I reflected. It was a. I always find I reflect when I'm doing something that engages my brain a little bit, but not enough for me to actually think. Like the washing up, or going for a drive, or walking somewhere.
Yeah.
So I discovered it by accident. I was just washing up, and I just remember thinking, and like I had like a realization about something from counseling, like in one of my sessions, like very, very early on. And I was like, this is amazing. I can actually like self-therapy myself, like outside, like outside of counseling. I was like, this is great.
Yeah. I completely agree. You know, for me, it's the being in a car driving. That's one of the best times for me to process stuff. You know, when I saw my own counsellor, I purposely picked someone that didn't live just on my doorstep. I picked someone that was half an hour drive just to give me that time to process stuff on the way back and the way there, actually. You
That's
know,
smart.
Just to do that. You know, I think, you know, that's part of it. That's part of the work, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
That's awesome. So what would you say to someone who hasn't ever been to therapy before? They don't know what to expect. What would you say? They come to you and they say, "What is counselling? What do I expect from counselling? What will it give me? Like, what's the return on investment?" I guess.
I think how to word it really.
Yeah.
I mean, every counsellor will work slightly different, but I guess that the, you know, the aim that everybody's wanting, you know, for their clients is to give them that safe space to explore what's going on for them.
Yeah.
Just to give them that time to process through, whether it's events from the past or issues that they're currently dealing with, and to help them find their own solutions to those problems, or gain acceptance around things that actually they can't change.
Yeah.
I mean, I always say to my clients, you know, in the first session that, you know, I'm very laid back. That's me. That's how I am. And I'm like that in counselling. So, you know, if I'm working with a client and, you know, they're worried or they're anxious about coming to sessions, you know, just come, just be there. And then, you know, it will be fine. I also use a lot of different skills. So
yeah.
I don't know if you did mention actually that I'm integrative. So I use different types of counselling theory.
Yes.
And different approaches in my work. So, you know, even if a client just turns up and we spend an hour, I don't know, even doing some mindful colouring, it's better that they're there than having not come.
Yes.
There's always stuff that we can do that would feel a bit more comfortable for them. You know, it's not always about them just talking for 50 minutes. It's, you know, there's other things, you know, there's nothing to be worried about. It's just come in, giving it a go, and seeing if it's for you, really.
Yeah. And I guess for you, the nice thing, Kim, is that you've got, I guess from an integrative approach, you've got lots of different tools in your toolbox, so to say. You've got, you know, you've got the aspect of like psychodynamic, person-centered, CBT, I guess REBT as well. There's a lot of different approaches.
Yeah, and, you know, the way that I see it is that, you know, all of us are individuals. So, therefore, what we need is individual. You know, I really don't agree with kind of a one-size-fits-all counselling.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of go and see a CBT therapist and that's all that they do, which is fine. And it obviously works for some people. But, you know, I don't think every person and every issue that you're presented with is always going to be, you know, helped by one type of counselling. You know, CBT isn't the whole you know, the be all and end all, you know, it yes. isn't. But I think if you use an integrative approach, then, you know, you can see what is going to work, and it might be doing some CBT work, you know, it might be perhaps not doing any and doing more person-centered work with your client, integrating some mindfulness into what you do, or, you know, looking at other types of techniques that might help. You know, that's what I think is more beneficial. And I've definitely seen, you know, the evidence of that, you know, with my work, that, you know, no two sessions that I do are ever the same. You know, they're always different. I think that I'd probably say my core is person-centered. So for me, it is about building up that relationship with my client, you know, really accepting them for who they are. That is at my core, definitely. But sometimes you're working with people and it's good to bring in other things.
Yes.
You know, I try and encompass everyone. And if someone comes and says, actually, this would be helpful, okay, well, I'll look at doing that.
Yeah.
Like, I had a client before, it was actually quite a young girl, and she struggled talking and just kind of getting the words out, actually. And she once came to a session, it was with one of those kind of, it was a pillow that had sequins on it that you could move.
Okay.
You haven't seen one, but like, you can kind of write things in the pillow, and it just gave her something to do with her hands, and she then found that she could talk.
Oh.
She could open up a bit more. It's a bit like kind of those fidget toys that, you know, people have.
Yeah.
That do seem to help sometimes concentration, and it can make people a little bit more calm. So what I then did after that is I kind of went out and brought a variety of different things, and I have my own little toy box.
I have
in my counselling room. So when my clients come in, I say, you're more than welcome to play with one of my toys if you'd like. which they kind of look at me like I've gone mad. Well, some of them love it, actually. But, you know, she suggested that that would help her. So, therefore, I've then implemented that. And then, you know, if any clients do feel the same or do want to give that a go, then
it's there. You've brought it into your practice now because you saw it worked for one client. I think that's great.
Yeah. You know, and I'd never push anything on a client. You know, if a client said, oh, no, I really don't want to do that, or, you know, I don't really want to go there, then that's fine. You know, we take it at the client's speed, you know. Sometimes there's a need for a little bit of challenging at points.
Yes.
But, you know, I think, you know, I'd never say, you know, fill in this thought log, you know, go away for the week and fill in all of your thoughts. If they really didn't want to do that, then I'm not going to make them do it, you know. It's got to be a two-way thing in counselling. So, you know, I've kind of got a big toolbox of techniques and things to use, but it's dependent on what the client wants.
Yeah.
Also what I think might help. And then we kind of figure a way from there.
My therapist, she would get me to write letters to myself. And like, she always used to tell me, yeah, you know, why don't you write a letter to yourself, or write a letter to this person if you got something you want to say to a person. And I'd always think to myself, like, this is just stupid. Like, I'd really resent the idea, but when I did it, it was so helpful. It was like, it was crazy. And then we stopped doing it for a little while, and it was really interesting for her, because I'm still a client now of hers, and I'm going through my training, and as part of my training, I started journaling. I'd sort of done journaling with her as well, but like, I'd done one or two entries, and again, I'd found it really useful. But I still resented the idea of it. And all throughout my training, I had to do journaling like every week after class. And it's weird, like, I still do it now because I find it so useful. It's like having another therapy session.
Yeah, it can be like that, definitely. And sometimes we don't necessarily, as a client, we don't know whether something's going to be helpful. But if we're just open-minded and we give things a try, then, you know, we actually might get something from doing that.
Yeah.
So it definitely is that kind of two-way discussion, really, between counsellor, client, about the way forward and, you know, what they're going to do, what kind of tools might help, kind of thing.
So typically, do you find, I mean, obviously it's different with different areas, like demographics-wise, but like, what do you usually find? Do you usually find there's a particular age group that approaches counselling, or what have you found in your experience?
It's interesting you say that, actually, because I had a discussion with my supervisor about this in my last session.
Yes.
She literally lives down the road from me, and I'd kind of been talking through some of my cases, and she commented that a lot of the clients I have are kind of young adults. You know, they're perhaps in their 20s, early 20s, that kind of age range. And she said, oh, do you target kind of young people? Is that, you know, where your advertising is going? And I said, no, not particularly. You know, I work with all ages. But she was able to acknowledge that, actually, or identify that a lot of people that are coming to me are from that kind of younger adult age group. Whereas she said her clients are a bit more spaced out within their ages. And actually, I'd always thought that that was just the people that were coming for counselling, that maybe it was just young people. But maybe it isn't. Maybe, you know, you attract certain clients to you.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done a lot of work with young people anyway, and done a lot of work with children. So, you know, to work with young people, I guess, fits quite nicely with me. But you know, it is interesting, you know, that clients will perhaps sit and find a counsellor that they feel that connection with, and then all of those clients are drawn to the same kind of person.
Yeah.
Or, you know, older clients are drawn to other counsellors. It's just interesting why people go to certain people. But
I think that's you know, I was really surprised by your answer, and I'm really happy as well, because I think if you can get someone at like a young age, they're still, because like I started when I was 20, I started counselling, and I think because my mind was so moldable and my opinions and like things were still forming about a lot of things, and like, I was still finding my way, like, really just starting adulthood. It was a really good age for me to start, because, like, whilst I had to make a lot of changes in my life, you know, I don't have any responsibilities, like children and, you know, those sorts of things. And
yeah,
it means that you're allowed to move a lot faster through your therapy, even though you don't know you're moving fast. I guess what I'm trying to say is, if I was like 30 or 40, it might take me a little while longer, because some of those knots, some of those problems or issues in your head are a little older, and they've been there a while, and maybe reinforced by a marriage or a relationship and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I guess, you know, everybody's different. I don't really know the answer, really, what, you know, or how to respond to that, because I think, you know, I do completely agree with what you said about, you know, that it's nice to hear that a lot of young people are coming to counselling, and that maybe, you know, some issues might be easier to deal with at a younger age. But yeah, I do agree that, you know, it is nice that more people are considering it.
Yes.
You know, more young people particularly. You know, that's our next generation, is these people, you know, and then they're having their children. And if we can all be a little bit more open to mental health issues and seeking help with mental health issues, then that's only going to be a positive thing, and we're going to then pass it on to the next generation and then the next one. So yeah, it is a good thing. I agree.
And obviously with charities now that weren't around like 10 years ago, like, or 20 years ago, like Mind and Calm, you know, also the mental health movement that's happening online, and you know, you've got like big celebrities and even the royal family coming out and saying, you know, this is real, like we've struggled with it, here's our stories, and it allows people like a gateway into talking about theirs. Like I was talking on to a guy on Twitter the other day that Kobe Bryant, the basketball player, is like gonna write a series of fictional stories for children about mental health. Like, it's just, it's everywhere, and the power of like the internet is allowing people to share their stories, and it started as like a, I guess, like a bit of a catalyst now for people to talk about it.
Yeah, you know, we definitely need to be more open as a society. You know, mental health conditions affect 1 in 4 of us. That's, you know, that's huge numbers. But yet, it's very rarely talked about. I know that things have been, been better more recently, but, you know, we need to definitely be more proactive with it. And yeah, things like books for children, I think it's a fantastic idea. You know, even at a young age, you know, people should be made aware of, you know, mental health issues as well as your physical health issues. It should be part of the same thing, really.
Yeah, your physical health and your mental health side by side.
Definitely. And one thing I did want to pick up on, which you just mentioned, was around celebrities and kind of getting the message out of there. And there's definitely been a movement with particularly male celebrities. That's been quite a big thing, you know, even with like Prince Harry, Prince William, that have come out and started talking about their experiences after the bereavement that they went through.
Yes.
And actually, as a result of that, I believe that there is more males coming to counselling. Looking at my referrals over kind of the last 5-year period, more recently there's been a lot more males.
Great.
I don't know if it is related to that, I'm not sure, but I believe that it could very well be. And actually, it was something that I spoke about in my supervision, and my counsellor said exactly the same, that she's found an increase in referrals from men. So, you know, hopefully with, you know, this kind of drive towards male celebrities or people in the media being a bit more open about their experiences, hopefully it's going to help young men or even any men, really, to take that next step and to try and get some support.
Yeah. It's a really nice thing, like a really positive thing. I think you see a lot. I mean, I try not to read newspapers anymore and stuff like that, but you see a lot about the male suicide figures and stuff like that. So I think when you hear from you, Kim, that, like, you know, your referrals have gone up, you're seeing more men approaching counselling, I think it's a really positive sign that, like, times are starting to change now. Like, it's no longer the, you know, I was guilty of it as well, like, before I sort of started my counselling. The reason I didn't want help from anyone is because I thought I should deal with it on my own because I'm a man, like, yeah. And I think that sort of like perspective or paradigm is starting to break. That narrative that's been there in society or wherever is starting to break, and, you know, a new narrative will be formed where it's like, it's okay, you know.
And I think, you know, some of the other types of counselling, like the newer forms, so like telephone counselling, online counselling, you know, they're a great addition to someone or, you know, something to think about for people that do have that worry about going along and seeing a counsellor because, you know, it might make them seem kind of weaker or that they need support, actually, you know, you can even just sit at home on your laptop and have a counselling session or chat down a phone, you know, so your counsellor will never even see what you look like. You know, it can even be like that. You know, again, they're both forms that I've done in my practice. Slightly, it does definitely change the dynamic of the relationship, but,
yes,
you know, it's, I think that that's a positive movement, you know, towards other forms of counselling, because some people that don't feel comfortable with the face-to-face stuff may do with picking up a phone.
Yeah.
So, you know, that would be a positive step, I think, in my mind.
Yeah. It's just nice to see, and, like, it really surprised me when I was, like, 20, I think, and my dad said to me, you know, he said, you know, I think you should go to therapy, and he said, I think it will help you, and he said, the reason I think it will help you is because I've had it, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
It was such, like, it blew my mind so much, because I think that was the moment that my, like, perspective changed, where I was like, gosh, if he can go, like, you know, then, I mean, it didn't become an option for me until a little bit later down the line, because I really had to, like, at first when he told me, I was like, screw you, like, you think I've got something wrong with me, but, like, I went away and thought about it, and that's the thing, it's the fact that these, like, conversations are even happening, like, the fact that my dad felt it was okay to, like, say, you know, there's something wrong, like, you know, I'm just gonna tell you how it is.
Yeah.
Like, I talk to my sisters about, like, mental health and stuff, like, I can talk to, like, my friends about it, and I think it's just, it's nice that you can have these kind of, like, conversations, like, out of the shadows, and not feel like a freak of nature.
Yeah. I think that there are still some clients that definitely come to counselling that say that nobody knows that they're coming.
Yeah.
I had a client that turned up the other day wearing gym clothes, you know, like lycra bottoms and a top, and she said for the only way for her to get out of the house was to pretend that she was going to the gym. So she dressed up for the gym and then came to counselling. So, you know, there is still that element, I would say, that, you know, I don't think we're fully open. I think we're definitely moving that way.
Yeah.
More people are happy to talk about their experiences of counselling. But I think that the more that we can do that, the better. Because, you know, things like, you know, recommending a counsellor. If someone's able to recommend a counsellor, then it's only going to then help that other person.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think that there's enough of that. I think people are still kind of, you know, perhaps not being so open or not sharing kind of, you know, details, passing things on. I think, you know, I think that's a good thing. I think we need to move towards that a little bit more.
Yeah. Good. So, like, where do you see it going for yourself? Like, would you ever go into, like, speaking, or, like, would you ever go into, like, different areas, like group therapy? Like, where do you see things going for you, like, with your practice now? Have you got plans, or are you just still feeling out how it's going?
I've done group therapy as part of my previous work in the drug and alcohol field, so I have some experience with that anyway. And yeah, so that's perhaps not particularly where I want to go. I think my first goal really is really just to keep doing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, keep developing, keep getting my name out there, I think ultimately what I'd really like to do is become a supervisor myself.
Okay, yeah.
I'd like to then take on supervisees and support them on their journey being a counsellor. That would be ultimately, I think, where I'd like to go with it. But, you know, in the meantime, I just want to keep developing my knowledge, keep developing my experience, just keep moving forward, really. But, you know, not losing focus of what I want to do and who I am.
Yeah. Do you find the, like, CPD that you do each year helps with, like, staying on top of, you know, your knowledge and experience that you've got?
Yeah, definitely. And it's nice to pick kind of things that I'm interested in. You know, you don't have to have your CPD in a certain area. You know, it's actually whatever you would like it to be in. So it's nice sometimes to kind of branch out or to increase your knowledge around a certain area that, you know, you'd like to do. I mean, one of my CPDs the other year was doing some mindfulness training, because that was something that I didn't really know a lot about, and so I couldn't put it into my work. So I become trained in mindfulness, and actually that then straight away you can then implement that into your work.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's really good to be able to perhaps look at things like that that are completely different, and kind of develop and progress things in that way.
What's your, like, take on, like, meditation? Do you think that's helpful for a client?
It can be. Again, I don't believe it's necessarily one size fits all with meditation. I don't think it's probably for everybody. But, you know, there definitely is a place for it. You know, your mind and body are connected. So I agree. And mindfulness, I wouldn't say I necessarily practice it myself hugely. For me, there's kind of a time and a place that I might use those kind of techniques. But for other people, they use it a lot more, or they perhaps use it at different times, and that's fine. You know, I think people kind of need to pick out the bits that are going to work for them.
Yeah.
I am also qualified in auricular acupuncture, which is acupuncture of the ear.
Oh, wow. I've never even heard of that.
So that's, you know, something else that, you know, I can kind of do alongside my counselling.
What does the auricular acupuncture do?
So it's around kind of rebalancing the chemicals in your brain. So, you know, when you're suffering from depression or anxiety, all your chemicals are kind of all over the shop. So you perhaps have a reduction in your dopamine or your serotonin. And then with acupuncture in the ear, it's kind of five very, very small needles, very small, go into different points in the ear. And what they're meant to do is kind of rebalance things.
Okay.
And, you know, brilliant for relaxation as well. Really good for sleep problems. But again, it's not for everybody. So, you know, I think it's about people picking what bits that they think are going to work for them.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow. I've literally never heard of that until today. That's really interesting. I'll do some reading up about that. That's really interesting.
We might need to do a whole different podcast.
Gosh. Like, so have you got clients that have taken that on? They've had a go at the acupuncture?
Yeah, it's been a more recent thing with my private practice. I mean, I've been trained for a couple of years, and that was in my work with addiction. I was trained, and I didn't actually realise whether I wasn't actually sure if I could implement it into my counselling. But I checked with the board that trained me, and they said that it could be used if it was alongside a talking therapy.
Yeah.
It wouldn't kind of be a standalone treatment that you could advertise, and but it could, if it was to complement the therapy, then yes. So I started offering it. I've only had a couple of clients that have kind of taken me up on it, but the feedback that I've got has been quite beneficial.
Oh, great.
Been quite good. But it's nice to be able to have that option to offer somebody something that's kind of more of a complementary therapy.
Yeah.
You know, I think I'd perhaps like to do a little bit more of that in the future, maybe kind of expand that into slightly different areas.
It's like an extra string to your bow, isn't it? Like, that's what it's all about. Like, the lady that trained me, the therapist that trained me, on our course, like, you know, she was going through lots, you know, explaining how she started off, like, with, like, couples therapy, and then moved into, like, I think it was, like, family therapy, and it's just, it's all just a different bow, like, string to your bow each time.
Yeah.
Have you ever done couples therapy?
I have. I did a training course in working with couples, and I have since worked with a few couples. It is very different than working with individuals.
Totally different dynamic.
Completely different dynamic. I don't know. I think I found it quite difficult.
Yeah.
Kind of swap into that kind of dynamic. You know, all my experience really is with individuals, and suddenly having two people want to say things, and most of the time they're in disagreement with the other person. You kind of feel like you're, you know, in the middle of a boxing ring trying to kind of, can't remember what the word is.
You're like refereeing.
Refereeing, that's it. It is a little bit like that at times, and it can get quite heated. I think it is a little bit more difficult or challenging, should we say.
Yeah. It's, I think every counsellor has got like that area that they might not be as comfortable with as others. Like, for me, I wouldn't find group therapy as comfortable as like couples or, you know, one-to-one therapy. So it's just each to their own again, I guess. And it's what's in your skill set and personality. Like, it's really interesting. Like, you learn to be authentic with yourself and like real with yourself. Like I wouldn't take on something unless I felt completely comfortable with it, because I'd be doing I'd feel like I'd be doing a disservice.
Yeah,
well, that's interesting.
Mm.
Yeah, because there's a couple of people from our group, they went on to be Relate counsellors, which is where I think it's like couples therapy.
Yeah.
What's your like take on that, where there's like an organisation that offers a particular type of therapy? You've got like bereavement counselling, for example, or couples. Like, what's your take on that, training that way as opposed to going, I don't know, what people might say is the more traditional route?
Don't know really. I mean, one of my placements that I did when I was training was actually with Cruz, which is the bereavement charity.
So
as well as doing my counselling course, I've also done the Cruz training as well.
Wow.
Which was fantastic. I mean, their training is second to none. It is absolutely fantastic. And it really does set you up with working with that issue. You know, I think I wouldn't necessarily say one's better than the other. I think it comes down to what you want to work with eventually. You know, if you just want to do, you know, working with couples, then maybe the Relate training will be for you, you know, and you'll get training about how to do that in a great deal of depth, probably more so than what you do on your normal counselling course. But, you know, if you want to work with a wealth of different kind of issues, different clients, then, you know, you need something a little bit more generic, and then you can then complement your counselling by doing extra bits of training, which is, I guess, what I've done in that way.
Yeah.
But I think there's definitely a place for organisations, and some of them, as I said, offer fantastic services. You know, and I do signpost people to things, you know. I will tell them, you know, openly tell them what other support is in their area, and, you know, particularly if someone's come to counselling for kind of a number of different issues, then, you know, we might work through some, and then it may be the case that then they would go on to a specialist agency to work just with, say, a bereavement, or, you know, then after they've dealt with their issues, then they might look at then going to counselling with their partner and doing some relationship work.
Yes.
I think that there's a part for all of it, really.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'm kind of in the same mindset, to be fair. I think it's like different flavours of what I think will be the same training, because you've got like the core conditions, like always throughout your training anyway, and then it's just the different approaches to the models, I guess. That's really interesting though. I looked at Relate and Cruise as well, actually. I decided, because of the way like it fitted into my personal life, like going to college and university is the best route for me. But
yeah.
I think anyone that wants to become a counsellor, they are interesting alternatives. It's nice that you don't just have the one route anymore, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing, definitely.
Yeah. Trying to think what I was going to say. Sorry, I've just my mind. I've literally just forgotten what I was going to say. So I think if someone was in a, say if someone's in a spot where they can't, that's a, right, sorry, I've just remembered. Say if someone's in a spot where they're like, I really want this therapy, I'm not in a situation where I can afford it. What are my options? What would you say to someone that comes to you and says that?
I guess it would be looking at, I guess it's kind of weighing up the pros and cons, really, because there is free counselling out there. There's free counselling through the doctor, so NHS counselling, although one of the negatives is that there's such a long waiting list. So often you're waiting a long time for counselling to start, and then, you know, you may only get 6 or 12 sessions anyway, so it's kind of short term. But that might be suitable for some people. You know, you've also got kind of the route of, you know, going down insurance, so like Bupa and things that offer counselling, which would probably be a bit quicker. But again, you've only got usually 6 or 12 sessions, so it's quite short term.
Yeah.
So it is kind of weighing up all the pros and cons. Obviously, with private counselling, you know, you can start straight away, but you have to pay.
Yeah.
I mean, the way I see it is, if a client comes to me and says, I feel I need it, but I'm going to struggle with the payment, we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
You know, I offer discounts for people, because I just think it's more important that they're getting what they need than me getting an extra £10. You know, it's, you know, I have a client at the moment who's a young client who's not working, and came to me desperate. You know, so I'm offering a session that's well under, you know, kind of half price.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm willing to do that because, you know, somebody's come and, you know, I know his circumstances, and actually, you know, I'd like to be able to offer my services, and I know that there are other counsellors out there that would do the same. So, you know, I wouldn't let financial kind of constraints affect whether you go to see a counsellor. Just contact them, ask them if they could do anything discounted, ask if they can help with anything, and they probably would.
Yeah. I think there's like something to be said as well about I think I did a podcast episode about this actually, about like researching the different models and approaches, like understanding the difference between a psychodynamic counsellor to like a CBT or person-centered counsellor, because like you'll get a very different experience with each. Like, it's interesting when I look back at my own therapy, I've had to have lots of different sort of types of therapy throughout the time. You know, I've had psychodynamic, I've had person-centered and CBT, because of the different, you know, things I presented in the room when I was at counselling. And I think it's important that you figure out the differences between them and see what applies to you best, because I think that'll help your experience. Like, you know, anxiety, for example, if I went to see a psychodynamic counsellor, I might have a different, completely different experience than if I went with that anxiety to a CBT counsellor. I just think there's a lot to be said about that.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there are definitely some issues that work best with certain types of counselling. You know, if you're looking at depression and anxiety, you know, there is evidence that suggests CBT can be quite helpful. You know, looking at kind of your negative thought patterns, looking at, you know, then challenging those, that kind of thing. Mindfulness has also been seen as something that can help with depression, along with CBT. So those two combined.
Yeah.
But then if you're working with bereavement or loss, then CBT is going to do absolutely nothing. Well, it may help, but actually what you probably need is something that's a little bit more kind of person-centered, where you're just given the space just to explore things. Yeah. You know, some of the type, you know, the theories of counselling or types or approaches are very much on the here and now. And sometimes, you know, we might be coming to counselling and want to talk about past things. So we need to find a kind of a type that would help with that. So I guess it is about just doing a little bit of research. And if a client doesn't know what type's going to be best suited, contact some counsellors, get a feel for them, have a session with each of them.
I love that you just said that. I absolutely love that. That's exactly the right thing to do. You can, you know, it's a little bit like, you know, dating. You like, you go out on you session, like your initial session with three different types of counsellors, and you see which counsellor fits best with you and which approach as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that you said that. That's key. That's so key.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, I just think there's a lot of information out there now. Like there the BACP website, that's really great as well for information if you're looking for a counsellor, or, you know, you want to know a bit more about it. So I think that's everything that I've got to say. Unfortunately, I wish I could carry on. Unfortunately, I'm gonna have to finish. It's been really great having you on the show, and I think you've answered all my questions like really thoughtfully, and I've just appreciated the conversation, to be honest.
Thank you very much. Thank you for, you know, for the opportunity. You know, it has actually got me thinking. You know, some of the things that you asked, it did get me thinking about some things. That's nice to hear that you thought I was thoughtful, because I definitely was.
Yeah.
It's kind of thinking through things. Please feel free, if anyone has any questions or concerns or queries, then, you know, people always, you know, I'm more than happy to take any, answer any questions that anyone has.
Yeah.
They need any advice around, you know, what kind of counsellor to choose or that kind of thing. I'm more than happy to give out my details, so that's not a problem.
Lovely. Yeah, when I do the post, I'll link up all of Kim's details as well. So I'll be doing a post on Twitter and on Instagram, and hooking Kim's details up so you'll be able to get through to her. I just really appreciate you coming on, and I found it amazing. It's nice to talk to someone in this world. So we can like chop it up.
At least we enjoyed ourselves, so
yeah.
At least some other people might as well, but you know.
Oh no, I really think they will. Thanks. Yeah. So that's been the show for today, guys. Really appreciate you taking the time to listen to this. So this has been Kim Mole and Dan Udell on the Know Yourself Show. Until next time, guys, peace out.